dare great things for Christ. Christ calls us to dare great things. In the marketplace, as well as in the mission field, there has never been a time like the present for the spirit of the Catholic entrepreneur. Now is the time for men and women of great courage and great vision to engage our church and our culture. Now is the time to dare great things. And here is your host as we dare great things, Father Nathan Cromley, the president and founder of the St. John Institute.
Faith and family values just seem to go together. But why is this so? And what happens to our family values if we separate them from faith? Many young families today are doing just that, trying to see if we can maintain a family without necessarily linking it back to God. On the other hand, the Catholic Church consistently teaches us that God is the key to family unity and to family greatness. But what does this mean? In this second part of our series on the four anchors, we explore the real blessings that faith represents for our families. So I'm real excited to continue this series with you where we're exploring the different anchors, as I call them, the four anchors for success in our life, okay? And the first talk we gave here was on the importance of God as a foundation for everything. And that's primarily because God is the superlative being in the universe. I mean, you've got to anchor your life in something. It's either going to be anchored in your skills and your own pride, right, and vanity, or it's going to be anchored in the reputation that people give you, or it's going to be anchored in, and what is your life anchored in? I mean, real concretely, like, what is the foundation of your self-assurance? Okay, because it's going to be anchored in something. It might be that we're in the greatest country in the history of the world. It might be that we have a good job, right? And I'm just like, well, it's kind of funny because if any of those things get shaken, suddenly you've got nothing left. And we all know this, which is why so many people live in fear. They fear bank collapse. They fear their stock portfolio disappearing. They fear their retirement being gone. Isn't that funny? Because contrary to that, you've got Christians. And Christians are able to say, we're rooted in God. And nothing can shake God. And therefore, nothing can shake me. I mean, we might go through trials and tribulations, but the answer to every trial and tribulation is to go back to your faith and root yourself more deeply again in God. And not only is God the source of the security for your identity and your sense of self, but God is also someone who pushes us to excellence, meaning the human person finds fulfillment in God like nowhere else. Because in him you have an infinite good, which means knowing and loving him can give us a level of fulfillment and satisfaction that nothing else can in life. Because everything else will fade away, everything else is limited good. God will never fade away, and God's good is infinite. So a life that's rooted in him ought to have even more zest, even more drive, even more excitement, even more of a higher quality of excellence than any other form of a life out there. No, in fact, it doesn't, right? Because Christians aren't living our faith as deeply as they could, but you see the potential for it. In any case, the closer we get to it, the closer we get to it, right? Every step in that direction is a step forward. So that begs the question then, well, what does this mean to root our life in God? Where's the first place that we can do that? And I want to put forward, it's in your families, okay? And why? Because the family is an institution that does not come from the state, nor does it come from art, nor does it come from business. It comes from God, okay? So we as believers go back to Adam and Eve, where God made man, God made woman. He put them together and he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. He himself created this institution called marriage, and the marriage as the bedrock of the family. And then that every child, every citizen who's ever going to be in any state is first a member of a family, first a child of a father and a mother. It's almost like God puts his fingerprints on every state or every social political reality by being at the origin of the human people who form that state or that organization, whatever it might be. Every other institution comes from people. The only institution that doesn't come from people is the one that forms people. And that's the institution that comes from God called the family. So it's only natural that our family, if it's got its roots in God, should reflect God and should reflect his values. Again, if every human being is made in the image and likeness of God and is made in that image and likeness in and through a family, Well, it only stands to reason that our family itself ought to be a sacred thing, something that's out of the control of the profane world. Okay, and when we lead our family as men and women who are in charge of a family and parenting children and working on our marriages, we're actually cooperating in something that is so deep, is deeper than any other reality that we have in our society, because it literally is a reality that forms human people. Right? So beautiful when you realize that the human soul that is created by God alone is directly infused into a body by God in the womb of a mother. And of course, that mother is, in the plan of God, protected, provided, cared for by the Father. And the Father and the mother together rear these children. I mean, it's such a neat plan. But it's a plan that's so sacred because we're talking about a human soul. We're talking about the dignity of a person. And again, like many people might disagree with that. Many people have different ways of looking at family. And I want to say all those ways are fine, but few ways are quite as exciting, exhilarating, creative, new as the Catholic imagination looking at the family, saying that literally you are birthing immortal beings into the world. I mean, you know, the souls that come into the world through a family will never die. They live forever, either in heaven or in hell, but like they live forever because each child of a family is also a child of God who has chosen to bring children into the world. And with each person, of course, you have an immeasurable good. I mean, in the Catholic understanding of the world, the state exists for the sake of the human person who transcends the state. Okay, so it's amazing to think that every member of your family is the reason the entire country exists, and that all law has to respect rights that the law itself can't confer, natural, God-given, inalienable rights that are given by God himself, and that are inscribed in the very nature of what a human being is. And to think that the family is the nest of where those human beings come to be and then are nurtured to a self-understanding of their own greatness. You come to realize that, my goodness, a family, as the family goes, so will the whole society go. And if a whole family goes up, goes into God, well, the entire society will rise in its quality and understanding of itself, because the whole society exists for the sake of the good of its members. And its members' goodness can only be defined fully by God. So therefore, a state's understanding of itself and a country's understanding of itself, really, I mean, in the Catholic worldview, isn't that neat to think that a country should exist in order to bring people the conditions necessary for them to live the fullness of life that can only be found in the infinite goodness of a relationship with God? It's mesmerizing, and it changes our whole understanding of culture from looking at the economy as the number one arbiter of what's right or wrong in our judgment about our politics. We no longer look at the economy as the judge. We should be looking at other things. The quality of the care, for example, of how we care for the poorest and most vulnerable among us. That will show us how well our society is doing, since every individual who is born in that society has a right to flourish and to be in the societies there, the government and the political entities are there to guarantee that right. It's a great Catholic imagination, but it only goes to show why a family is the cell of society and why it's so important for us to understand its dynamics. And then as leaders of our families, to bring our families to a higher level. So again, if you go back to it, look at it, your family is going to be rooted in something, everybody. Right now, there is something that's defining how you're steering your family. Is it pop culture? Is it the opinion of other people? Is it economic understanding of material wealth? What is it? What is it that's guiding your thrust and your drive as the leaders of your family? I want to suggest to you that perhaps there's no better thing to account for its greatness than the understanding that your family is there to serve God. And I want to show you how.
Would you like to hear more from Father Nathan? Join the St. John Leadership Network
and receive a 2-minute glance at the gospel every Sunday morning right to your phone. To learn more, go to www.stjohnleadershipnetwork.org/member and join for free today.
So looking at what a family is, it's pretty obvious that it has a relationship with God, not only in his origins of man and woman who are created by God in his image and likeness, but then in the birthing of children, which are just such an incredibly immense weight of honor for any family to think that they've co-created an immortal being with a soul that comes directly from God. I mean, it just boggles the imagination. It makes you kind of wonder, gosh, well, if that's what the family is, then the family really can't be defined by the culture in any accurate way. I mean, elements of the family can be defined by our culture or by our schools or by the way that our society chooses to look at it. But foundationally, as the birthplace of human persons who are made in the image and likeness of God, the family transcends anything that could otherwise define it. I mean, this family really is what defines society, instead of society being able to define the family. A society exists for the sake of that. Because not only is a child conceived in a family, but a child is reared in our initial sense of our greatness and of our identity, of our vocation and of our mission, in that nest of human love, of human relationships. And these relationships are created by God himself, because he's the one that invented that it should be this way, that a child should have a mother, the bond between a mother and a child. I mean, that's from God, the bond between a father and a child. That's from God, or between a brother and a sister. That's from God. I mean, the family's links are something that's written in our nature, and our very nature was created by God. So that means that those bonds are really sacred. That's why even if you look at the Ten Commandments, our Lord commands us to honor our father and our mother. Now, you have to know how to apply that, what that means. There's all kinds of theology behind all of this, everybody. I mean, I acknowledge that. I just can't give you the whole theology of the family right here in this particular talk. It's instead just to show the link and then how important it is for us to understand, if we're going to be leading our families, having a reference point other than God for our families is selling our family leadership short. Like, the only way to really foster truly the real bonds that exist in our family is to live them for what they are. They are the reflection of the love of God for one another and for each person lived in the human context. As a father loves his son, so God loves us. Or again, as a mother loves her child, so does God love us. There's all these Bible citations that I could give you to show you this beautiful truth of God literally using the bonds of the human family to describe his bonds with each individual person. God, for example, and Jesus himself referring to us and our relationships with one another as brothers and as sisters. I mean, it's incredible when you start to look and you see, is there any greater reference point out there to describe the realities of God than those of the human family? And the answer is no. Because the family is the closest reflection that we can have of God, which is also why broken families, which we got to acknowledge as existing, are so hard for us, and why it's such a serious violation to wound a person in their understanding of themselves by breaking up their families. Okay, and we acknowledge that the reason why it's so grave and why it hurts so badly is because it's so foundational to see the value of the family in the plan of God. So therefore, what does it mean to root our families in him? Okay, number one, it means to take stock of that fact that if they're not rooted in him, what are they rooted in? And anything else will be harmful to this incredible reality of the mystery of what a human family really is and its real vocation. And this is why it totally makes sense for us to define our family by our faith. And to say our relationship with God is essential to our family understanding, self-understanding, and for the decisions that we make as members of the family. Because we're making decisions as a body of people who know that their destiny does not end in death, but that lasts on to eternal life in the light and in the presence of a God. Think of it this way. As you look at your own family's self-understanding, so you'll pass on a self-understanding to each of your children. Do you really want your child to say to themselves, well, I'm nothing but a product of the state and of the culture, and my value is seen in how much stuff I have or how many activities that I can do? Is that what you want to tell them? Because if you do, the moment everything bad happens in their life and they can no longer perform those activities, they will also think that they do not have value. Or the moment they no longer have friends or are rejected by others, they'll also say that they no longer have value. But you have a different way that you can look at those individual persons. You can look at them as children of God with an immortal soul that has a value in his eyes, regardless of how they're esteemed upon the earth. And a person like that is a person who is free and able to contribute to the world in creative ways, regardless of their personal dispositions, talents, or abilities. Well, that understanding of the person is going to be the same for your family. When you are able to say, guys, our family exists from God and therefore exists for God. And we're going to make decisions that root our family in that perspective, precisely to defend every member of the family's sense of their own dignity, vocation, purpose, and mission. As our family goes, so each individual will go. And so since we're in charge of our family, we're going to root our family in God so that every individual in our family can also have their lives rooted in that awesome, infinite goodness that summons them upwards, further and higher towards personal greatness and success.
Would you like to start your Thursday mornings with a scriptural leadership lesson? Join the St. John Leadership Network, where Father Nathan hosts a 30-minute call at 6:30 a.m. in all four U.S. time zones. To learn more, go to www.stjohnleadershipnetwork.org/member and join for free today.
All right, so we've been talking now all about rooting our families in God and how that's part of the nature of the family and therefore it totally makes sense to do. But practically put, how do we do that? I want to give you some tips to help you to do that. And the thing about it is these tips all go hand in hand with the daily life that we live in our family. In order to be successful, in other words, in leading our families to God and rooting them into God, you've got to allow the family to be itself. In other words, a family's mission is to be a family. Okay, so it doesn't serve anything greater than that. It's not like the mission of our family is to fulfill a set of codes or laws or premises. No, I mean, like, the mission of the family is to be a family because it has a job in its very nature, which is the creation and the fostering and the development of human persons. Okay, so anything that we do on the outside in terms of like the leadership of the family with respect to a religion has to inscribe itself in the very rhythms of that family. Isn't it amazing that God does this with his sacraments? When you look at the sacraments, they're all rooted around the same mystery of the birthing and the strengthening and then the sending forth of a human life. What can we do to root our families in God? We should have them go through the sacraments. Obviously, when our children are born, we get them baptized. When they grow a little older, we confirm them. We strengthen them. We feed them every single Sunday with the body and blood of Christ as they grow. When they need to be repaired, we take them to confession so that their relationships can be restored. And then, of course, the family finds itself pointed towards vocations, either in marriage, the sacrament of matrimony, or holy orders, the sacrament of the priesthood. And then when we finally are sick and we go to our end, we are anointed and sent towards heaven. The seven sacraments all are inscribed in this arc of the human life, from birth to strengthening, to healing, to daily bread, all the way through until we're anointed and sent to heaven. It's beautiful that the church's very sacramental life in a parish is all around supporting the human person at our various stages of development. And therefore, the family at home and the family at church kind of coincide. We can see this. Just as at home we're feeding the kids, so we take them to church to feed them in God. At home we're reconciling relationships, so we take them to church so that they can be reconciled with God. At home we're talking to them about their college plans or their career plans, and so we take them to church so that they can hear about their vocation. Grace builds upon nature, And the life of the church builds upon the life of the family, extending it. So what can you do to lead your family towards God? Take them to be active in your church. Have them live the life that's present there, because the church exists to support that family structure and then bring it to an even greater completion and perfection as the natural family forms the family of God. Now, of course, as we do this and we try to do this, it's really helpful to gain some customs, some rituals that mark the day of an average human person in the family, but turn that day towards a reminder of what that human person is for. Each member of the family came from God, and so the family remembers that by recognizing that throughout the day and throughout the course of the year, that certain events in that family's life, you know, go back and point back towards the God from which we came. So as a leader of a family, what can you do? Well, number one, celebrate Christmas. You're like, no problem, we do that. Well, I'm not so sure we'll all be celebrating Christmas very soon. I'll be darned if pretty soon there's not going to be something else that comes along that we say this is more acceptable for our culture of disbelief than celebrating Christmas. But right now, anyway, it's true. Most people celebrate Christmas. So absolutely. But you need to celebrate Christmas, well, with at least a religious reference to it. Right? So, of course, we have our family meals, our family gatherings, but from the way that we decorate our homes, to the types of Christmas cards that we do, to singing Christmas carols as a family at some point, to doing an act of charity and reaching out to poorer families during the holiday season, to making sure that we go to Mass on Christmas Eve, you know, or the Christmas Day. All these things, which are really kind of small, but really by several small, but making sure that we don't allow our Christmases to be dominated by Elvis Presley songs. I mean, a couple of them are okay. Elvis is pretty good. But at the same time, I mean, we can do better. We should have at least something in there that's overtly religious. And telling the kid, we go to Mass on Christmas. We go to Mass on Easter, celebrating Easter. It's this holiday that's, you know, kind of falling out of tradition as our faith starts to yield. But what does our year look like if you don't have a cycle of Lent, that of repent of penance and of scaling back and examining ourselves spiritually? That's then coupled with a cycle of feasting and celebration rooted in God. I mean, our year is going to become very boring. You know, I mean, really, we end up replacing the resurrection of Christ with the celebration of an Easter bunny. I mean, you know, and I don't have anything against the Easter bunny if it's a cute little thing or whatever. But like, we can do better. That's the whole idea. And so here we go again. So if we're going to root our families in God, look at the cycle of the year. Birthdays, really important to talk about the mystery of that child. Talk about the mystery of that human life. To celebrate a birthday with a prayer. I mean, you can do birthday blessings, birthday prayers, singing May the Dear Lord Bless You to the melody of Happy Birthday to You. These are small little ways, but they're really important ways, because otherwise the cycle of an entire year goes by and we haven't turned that year saying that year comes from God. All right, so holidays, birthdays, the natural celebrations of a human life, so important. Same thing when it comes to your funerals. How do I turn my family to God? I insist in my will that my funeral be done in a Catholic church, or if you're not a Catholic, in the church of your choice, but like where you say, like, I want my religious services to be there. And I remind everyone, by the way, that the Catholic Church is against scattering remains. And it's also against keeping your remains unburied in your homes. You hear some real horror stories out there of folks that find remains from their previous homeowner in the attic, for example. You know, they left their Uncle Harry in the attic when they moved. Well, that's such a disrespect for poor Uncle Harry or whoever he is left up in the attic. You need to bury your remains of your loved ones out of respect, because your family comes from God. I know maybe other people don't believe that. Maybe other people want to be scattered on the river, thrown over a baseball field. There's many things people can do. But Christians who believe in the sanctity of the body believe that that body needs to be put in one place and not have the remains scattered. Okay, so this is an important message, but it's part of what we're talking about. Every human being is in the image and likeness of God, and their body is sacred and irreplaceable, and not just a part of the universe, because by this human soul, it was brought into the image and likeness of God, and it remains with that dignity. And our families honor that, which is the same way or reason why we have our marriages in a church and why we baptize our children in a church. The major events of life, we need to not be afraid or ashamed to have them sanctified by the church and by it, by participating in the community. You see, you take what's natural and you unite it to what's sacred. That doesn't destroy what's natural. It actually highlights it. It makes it even more appealing and beautiful. The same way you could have a priest come and bless your home. You could have a priest come and bless your office and your workspace. These are ways, but you see, in the end, it's always the same principle. I root my family in God by rooting God in my family. See, I find ways to connect what we are normally doing to our divine and supernatural vocation. Before we eat our meals as a family, we pray. We ask God to bless this food and to bless our gathering. Every night before we go to bed, we pray. We say thank you to God for the day. We apologize for our sins and we commit our souls and our bodies into his loving care. I mean, because you take the natural course of the day, the natural course of the year, the natural course of a human life, and you connect it back to its supernatural meaning. And every time you do that, you give your family an advantage. We are a family that can only be defined by the greatest, most permanent, most transcendent, most beautiful of all realities, God himself. And his love is what's going to be between us and our families. This is a beautiful gift for us and for everybody who knows us.
Dare great things for Christ.
Share your feedback with Father Nathan. Send us an email at communications@stjohninstitute.org. That's communications@stjohninstitute.org. And visit www.stjohninstitute.org and sign up for our newsletter to receive updates from Father Nathan.